Would you take God's word and open it up to Ruth chapter 2? Ruth chapter 2, and that is on page 259 in my Bible. Ruth chapter 2. Title of tonight's lesson, God's Amazing Grace. God's Amazing Grace. And before we get into our lesson, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever seen those types of pictures of where something is kind of hidden in the background? You look at the picture, but then they tell you, okay, there's four or five things hidden behind that picture. I mean, it may be a picture of a tree, but behind that, in different sequences, there may be a picture of a man or a woman, maybe an animal, a cat, a dog, maybe a shoe, I don't know, maybe a ring. Well, that is what this story of Ruth in chapter 2 is like. Now, the story's here. The story's here. We're going to read the story. But there's a story that is underneath that story. And the deeper that you look into this, then the more focused that second story becomes. Now tonight, I hope that everyone has their Bible with them. And I hope that you'll turn there, whether it's a paper Bible or iPad, iPhone, whatever. I want you to go there, and I want you to follow along with me, because I'm going to point out some things in this second chapter of Ruth that you may not be able to see unless you are following along with me. Now, there is some blessings, wonderful blessings in this second chapter. And this second chapter, even the whole book of Ruth, you could call it a redeeming love. But tonight, hidden down in here, is where I got tonight's title of tonight's lesson. It's also a story of God's amazing grace. And I want to point that out to you tonight. Now, let's refresh. Let's go back to last Sunday night when we began this study. We have this man. His name is Elimelech. And you know what that stands for in the Hebrew? Elimelech stands for, "My God is King." My God is King. And he marries a woman named Naomi, and her name means pleasantness. And they have two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And so when you look, you're on the outside looking inside to this family, and you've got this man that means my God is King, and he's married to pleasantness, and they have two children, two sons, and from the outside you say, hey, boy, this is one fine family. And then on top of that, where are they from? They're from Bethlehem. Where was our Lord and Savior from? From Bethlehem. But folks, something happens. Something happens. There is a famine that comes into Bethlehem. And Elimelech, my God is King, what does he do? He packs up his family and he goes into a country that is an enemy of the Israelites. He goes into a town that is cursed. It's cursed from 10 generations. You can read about it in Deuteronomy or Leviticus. 10 generations, it's cursed. And where does my God as King go? He hightails it over to Moab. He packs up his family and he moves to Moab. And guess what happens? My God is King, Elimelech dies. And if that's not enough, his two sons die. And so Naomi is now a widow. Ruth is a widow. And Orpah is a widow. So Naomi decides, okay, I'm going back to Bethlehem, where I came from. And in the process of her going back, she changes her name to Mara. You know what Mara stands for? Bitterness. All of a sudden, she was pleasantness, and now she is bitterness. And then she has the gall to blame God for her bitterness. And so the two daughter-in-laws, they want to go with Naomi. And Naomi said, no, you go back and you continue to worship your pagan god, whoever they are. And it doesn't take much to convince Oprah. And Oprah goes back. And we never heard of her anymore. But Ruth, what does Ruth do? Ruth makes one of the wisest decisions in her entire life. She says, no, Naomi, I'm going with you. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. And what does she do? What does Ruth do? She is a pagan and she turns her back on her pagan family and she turns her back on her pagan friends. And she heads towards Bethlehem with Naomi to worship the one and only God, the God of Israel. Now, when she gets there, when she gets to Bethlehem, Ruth is a widow. She's broken. She's cursed. Guess what? She's weak. But when she gets to Bethlehem, guess who she meets? She meets a man named Boaz. You know what Boaz means? His name means strength. Here is one weak, broken woman that made one wise decision. And who does she meet? She meets a man of strength. This pagan from Moab meets this bachelor from Bethlehem. And this bachelor from Bethlehem, you're going to see in this story, loves her so much. He loves her so much that what he does, he buys her entire estate and takes her and marries her. Now, folks, that's the story. I had to tell you all of that in order for you to see what I want you to see. The deeper story now that I want us to zoom in on and look at this. I want Elimelech to represent the nation of Israel tonight. And doesn't that fit just perfect? My God is king! My God is king until something happens. What did the Israelites? What was their track record? Oh, they loved God. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah, God. Amen, God. Until something came into their life. The same way that something came, this famine came into Bethlehem. And Elimelech packs them up and said, we're going over to the enemy. We're going over to Moab. We're going over to where we're not supposed to go. But we're just going to stay there. We're just going to stay there until the famine goes away. And they ended up living there. Elimelech represents the nation of Israel. But I also want you to see in this deeper story, this Gentile bride. This Gentile bride. And folks, you know who Ruth represents? Ruth represents you and me. Ruth represents the church. The church was grafted in. The Gentiles, that's us. She represents us, folks. And when you even look a little bit deeper, you're going to see a picture or a representation of Boaz representing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, that's the picture. That's what I want us to zoom in on tonight as we read this. But have you ever wondered, how why God tucks these stories in here, how there's a story within a story? And I don't know what to tell you the answer is. I can assume, I don't know the answer, but I can assume that it's just the joy. It's just the joy that you and I get when we discover and when we look at this. But this whole second chapter, this whole second chapter of Ruth, the whole theme is grace. Look in verse 2 of chapter 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I have found grace." Look in verse 10. At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such grace in your eyes that you noticed me, a foreigner?" Folks, Ruth becomes the bride of Boaz. Of why? Because of grace. Because of grace, Ruth becomes the bride of Boaz. How do we become the bride of Christ? Through grace. Through grace. How are we saved? What's Paul tell us? We're saved by grace through faith. This whole second chapter of Ruth is just a perfect example of grace. Now, there's several things I want us to look at as we dig into this about God's amazing grace. And number one, it is saving grace. It is saving grace. Now, let's go back up to verse 1, chapter 2. Now, Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. Ruth is just about ready to meet her Redeemer. She's coming into Bethlehem, and folks, if anybody needed a Redeemer, it was this woman named Ruth. She's broken. She's a widow. She's cursed. She's a pagan. She's crushed. She's lost her husband. And you can go on and on and on. But she's going to meet this man, Boaz. And his name is Strength. Back in the town of Moab, Ruth was condemned. She was cursed because God put a curse on Moab for 10 generations. And through the law of the Israelites, she was excluded. The law excluded her. But what I want you to see tonight is grace included her. The law excluded her, but grace included her. Now, there was a law in the land of Israel, and that law was called a kinsman redeemer. And just in a nutshell, what that means, if a woman was to lose her husband, and there was a relative that was willing to buy that estate, that way it stays in the family, that relative could, if he met the qualifications, and if he was willing. But if he decides to buy that widow's estate, then he also has to take that widow as his wife. That was the stipulation. And so here we're going to see Naomi couldn't buy it back. Number one, she was a woman. Number two, she didn't have any kind of money whatsoever. Ruth is bankrupt. Naomi is bankrupt. They're broken both. They're weak. And here they come into Bethlehem. But I want you to see how Boaz represents Christ. Number one, Boaz was from Bethlehem. Where's our Lord and Savior from? Bethlehem. Number two, Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. Is Jesus not our kinsman redeemer? The Hebrew writer says that Jesus took on flesh and blood. Why? To be made like us. to be made like us. Number three, you've got to have the qualifications in order to redeem. Boaz had those qualifications. Did Jesus have those qualifications? Yes. Of course he did. It took a sinless person to redeem a one with sin. That was one of the qualifications of redeeming you and me from our sinful nature. It took a sinless man, which was Jesus. And then if you got all of those, if you fit the criteria for all of those, and this is the most important part, folks, the fourth part of this is you have to be willing to do it. You have to be willing to do it. And Boaz was, and I thank God every morning that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was willing to do it. Folks, that is saving grace right there, illustrated in this second chapter. And Boaz represents our Savior Jesus. But I also want you to see a picture of sovereign grace. Not only saving grace, but sovereign grace. Now, read verses 2 and 3 with me in Ruth chapter 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I have found grace." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." She went out and began to glean. Now, glean means just picking up grain in the fields, okay? She went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. Now, watch this next verse. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Folks, this is the sovereign grace, and this is the part that I want you to see. How God had a hand in all of these circumstances that are going on. There was a welfare law that was established in the land of Israel. And that welfare law was put into place because of the poor. And that welfare law stated that when you harvested your fields, that you didn't harvest all of the fields. You didn't go up here and make a 90 and come across. When you came to a corner, you did a 45. You just cut the corner right there. And you left the corners of that field. And if you dropped any barley or any grain or anything, you left it. You left it. And that was the welfare law. That way the poor could come and they could pick out of those corners and whatever that you had dropped. That was the welfare law. Now, Ruth tells Naomi, I'm going to go out, I'm going to go find some grace. Naomi probably couldn't. She was too old to go out into a field and to pick barley. But what I want you to see, again, I want you to see God's hand in work of all of this. Number one, when did they arrive in Bethlehem? Let's go back to the end of chapter 1. Look at verse 22 at the end of chapter 1. So Naomi returned from Moab accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law. Now watch this. Arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Folks, this is sovereign grace. This wasn't no accident. This was God working all of these circumstances together. Number two, then she goes into a field to begin to glean. She begins to picking up. And guess whose field she's in? Boaz's field. Now, folks, they didn't have signs back then that stood out here and said, you know, hey, this is Boaz's field. This is so-and-so's field. This is so-and-so's field. They didn't have signs that said that. Ruth is just wondering, and she goes into the first field she finds. And it's Boaz's field. And then when she gets there, I want you to see who just happens to show up at the right time. Look at verse 4. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you, they called back. Now, folks, if you can't see God's hand working in this right here, I'm gonna take these off and I'm gonna ask you to come up here and get them. Okay? I mean, anybody can see that. Anybody can see that. And when did it all start? It all started with that one wise decision that Ruth made. She said, no, Naomi, I'm going with you. Your God will be my God and your people will be my people. I'm going to worship the God of Israel. You know, and there's a verse comes to my mind, Romans 8:28. I love that verse. God causes all things to work together for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. All it takes, folks, all it takes is one wise decision to surrender a self-will and to obtain God's will. And that's all Ruth did. And you're seeing her life being transformed. You're seeing things happen in her life. We got saving grace and then we got sovereign grace. But I also want you to see a seeking grace. Again, verse 4 and verse 5. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you, they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters. Wait a minute now. I see a woman out there. He says, whose young woman is that? And so they tell him. They tell him, but do you see the initiative that Boaz took? Boaz sees her. He took the initiative. Apply that to us. Apply that to us. Who took the initiative to save us? Jesus, folks. Jesus. We were lost. We were bruised. We were broken. The same way that Ruth was. And Boaz took the initiative. And so did Jesus. While we were still sinners, yet Christ died for us. If it wasn't for Him, we'd still be lost. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. He took the initiative. Here's a woman. She's bankrupt. He's wealthy. She's a pagan. He's an Israelite. She's a low caste. He's a prominent, noble man of honor. She's harvesting. She's gleaning. He owns the field. The same way, folks, that she had no chance. She had no chance if Boaz hadn't have took the initiative. Apply that to our individual lives. We had no chance if Jesus hadn't took the initiative. That's the seeking grace. Saving grace, sovereign grace, the seeking grace. And now I want you to see satisfying grace, beginning in verse 8 and reading verse 9 as well. So Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Verse 9, watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the waters the men have filled. Ruth, are you hungry? Come and eat. Ruth, are you thirsty? Come and drink. Boaz is telling his harvesters, I want this woman to be satisfied. What does God say about His children? I want my children to be satisfied. I'll tell you something. When I was preparing this, lesson, I started looking at what had happened, and I was close to shouting hallelujah, but I was afraid my wife Sharon would come running in to think I was hurt or something. But I am serious. It just dawned on me what this story is telling us. Here is a woman, and Boaz tells her, listen, you eat and you drink, and when it comes lunchtime, you don't go over there and isolate yourself. You come over here and you eat with us. And if you read on, and that's going to be your homework, I want you to read the rest of this chapter. When you read on, you're going to see that Boaz loads her down with about 60 pounds of grain. She had her fill, and he loads her down even more and says, listen, you take this home with you. I want you to be satisfied. But the exciting part was, folks, here she is. Here she is, and she is gleaning. She's the harvester in the field. Now, she's going to marry Boaz. Now, watch this. Everything that he has is going to be hers. She is the bride of Boaz. Folks, we are the bride of Christ. These are just the first fruits that we're getting now. Folks, someday, listen. This is where I wanted to shout hallelujah. Someday, everything that Jesus has is going to be ours. The church. We are the bride of Christ. The same way that Ruth is going to marry Boaz, everything that he has is going to be hers. Everything that our Lord and Savior has is going to be ours. Folks, that's the satisfying grace. That's the satisfying grace. And the last and final thing, it's a securing grace. It's a securing grace. When Boaz sees her, when he finally meets Ruth, his main concern for her is protection. And he tells her that. He tells his workers, he says, listen, you keep your hands away from her. You don't touch her. And yet, let's raise the bar. You protect her. The same way with us, folks. When we surrender our self-will to God's will, what power do we get? We get a supernatural power. That supernatural power is called the Holy Spirit. And He comes and He lives with inside of us. And He enables us to resist temptation of sin. He enables us to walk and live the Christian life. What did Paul say? Put on the armor of God. Folks, this is a wonderful, wonderful study. Story. It is a redeeming story. But when you look deeper, into here, you look at God's amazing grace that He has given to each and every person that walks on this earth. Here was a pagan servant girl. Her life was broken. It was cursed. It was crushed. And she made one wise decision. One decision. But it was a wise one. And that was to surrender her self-will and to obtain the God of Israel's will and to live by that. And through that, you know what she experienced? The same thing that we can experience. She experienced saving grace, sovereign grace, seeking grace, satisfying grace, and a securing grace. And all I'm telling you tonight, listen, if you're here and you have never done that, all I'm asking you to do is to put your faith in God's hand of grace. That's all. You put your faith in God's hand of grace. And the same God that took Ruth and she married this man A pagan girl married a man, Boaz. The same way, this same God can take sinners like you and me and make us the bride of Christ. Now, folks, that is grace. And that grace is extended to you tonight. It's extended to anyone sitting here tonight. How do you accept God's grace? We're saved by grace through faith. The faith comes in is when you walk down this aisle and you say, Rodney, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He died on the cross for my sins, that He was buried and was raised on the third day. And when I reenact this in this body of water behind me, what I'm doing is reenacting Jesus' death, His burial, and His resurrection. Then we repent. What does repentance mean? It means surrender. It's giving up a self-will and obtaining God's will. And then you're baptized. And then you begin a walk that you've never experienced before. That's grace, folks. That's grace. And it's extended to each and every person sitting here tonight. If it is your desire to accept it, we ask you to do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.